There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live, presented by Mazda.
All right, good news, Buckeyes. Some breaking news for you. Star defensive end Chase Young going to be back soon. Ohio State announced Wednesday Young's going to sit out the game when they play Rutgers on Saturday, but able to return next week for the Penn State game. Remember, Young held out of last Saturday's game against Maryland after the school announced there was a possible NCAA issue. How happy are you, young man? Well, everybody goes to social media and uses Twitter, right? Well, this is what he had to say. Excited to be back on the field next week. Thank you, Buckeye Nation, for all the love and support. I'm blessed to be a part of this team, the university, this community. Lots of love to the family. God bless and go Bucks. I am blessed to be a part of this team here in College Football Live. That's Dusty Dvorak and Todd McShay. Hi, I am Peter Burns. And yeah, we see that breaking news. Dusty, what did you ultimately take from this whole situation? Chase Young only getting two games and he'll be back for Penn State.
Not surprised. I think honesty is the best policy. You know, he came clean and allowed them to expedite the process and get this through. Convenient and, perfect timing for Chase and Ohio State, given that he's going to miss Maryland and Rutgers, and he's going to be there for Penn State at Ann Arbor, and then obviously a Big Ten championship possibility. But huge news. I think he's the best defensive player in college football, and Ohio State gets him back at a key part of the season.
Yeah, you almost wanted to sit him for those two games, really. If looking ahead to what Ohio State's going to have to go through, it worked out perfectly, and it did for the reasons that you said. He was honest, and he also, it's a good lesson, he hasn't made any other mistakes. And the fact that the NCAA is willing to take that into consideration, we always bang on the NCAA for a lot of good reasons. But in this case, I think it makes sense. He made a mistake, but it's his first mistake. He does all the other things right. I'm excited to see him back on the field in those big games, both, as you said, as the number one player in college football with a 13.5 sacks and just shy of the school record, but also as an NFL draft prospect. He's the number one player in this upcoming class, and to watch him in those big games against top competition is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Heisman's probably out of play now because of missing those two games, but you're right, 13.5 sacks. If he gets any more, he'll set that school record. All right. Record-breaking Twitter mentions yesterday because the College Football Playoff Committee released their latest results. And, oh, yes, you knew there was going to be a little bit of chaos. So here we go. Last night, second edition. These rankings brought to you by Chick-fil-A. LSU's win over Bama gives the Tigers that spot in the College Football Playoff rankings. First time ever, followed by Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, and Oregon rounding out the top six. Todd McShay, Alabama coming in at 5. That's weirdly unfamiliar for them. What'd you make of that decision by the selection committee?
I would have had them at 4. I think it's kind of recency bias because you look at Georgia and their schedule, Alabama's schedule, not as strong, but the loss that Georgia had at home with the struggling offense against South Carolina versus what Alabama did to, in a tough game versus the number one team in the country now and fighting back in that game. But we're splitting hairs, and it will all work out in the SEC because if Georgia runs the table, then most likely Alabama's out. But if LSU is able to beat Georgia in the SEC championship game, then there's a really good shot that Bama's back in that top four when it all matters in the end.
Yeah, I actually like Georgia at 4. That's what I would have done. And because who they beaten, right? They got a nice win over Florida, nice win over Notre Dame. And Alabama, they haven't beaten anybody, really. I mean, they don't have any quality victories. So I think it does come down to who have you beaten. And I think at this point, Alabama still has a chance, obviously, against a rival in the Iron Bowl to get a quality victory. But in my opinion, I think they have a chance to get past. I think a one-loss Oregon team is going to jump with a Pac-12 championship over a top-10 win against Utah. I think they'll jump an Alabama team. So I think for the first time in a long time that Alabama doesn't hold their own destiny or hold their own future in their hands. They need other things around them to fall perfectly if they're going to get back to another college football playoff.
And And how crazy is this now, guys, that Alabama has to pull probably for LSU to continue to win out and Auburn. So that way the Iron Bowl is a big one. But they also have to pull for the health of Tua Tagovailoa. Guys, I didn't think he looked 100% in that game against LSU. Nick Saban really didn't politic it. Todd, you're going to that game, Bama, Mississippi State. Do you expect to see Tua in this one?
It'll be interesting. I mean, I'm hoping to see Tua as just a fan and covering the game, but I could understand if they sat him because he's taken a beating. He's not the biggest guy in the world. We saw late last season he had some of these same types of struggles where he wasn't 100%. And clearly at the end of the game, you know, watching Dusty, he's not right. That doesn't look like someone who's healthy. So I could understand if they sat him, although it would be disappointing.
I'm with you. Look, if he's healthy, play him. If he's not, sit him down. You don't need him to win this game. You don't need him until you play in that Iron Bowl. So I think his health is of the utmost importance. If he's healthy, if he's right, of course you got to play a healthy guy. But if he's not, yep, and this week and another week can give him that ability to be healthy at the right time, sit him down, let him get right.
Yeah, and you look at Alabama, crazy to think number 5 is their second worst ranking ever in the history of college football playoff rankings. All right, how about Minnesota making history right now? First time 9-0 since 1904. Paul Feinbaum wasn't even born back then. But you start looking at these numbers, and where are we at with this, McShay? I mean, my goodness, Minnesota finally getting that love. Do they deserve that big jump?
It was a big jump. I actually thought they could have jumped a little higher, maybe up to number 6. When you look at their schedule, I think they have the fourth strength of rankings schedule so far this year. And to me, we've all just been sleeping on them because they're Minnesota. We haven't given them the love they deserve, and they came out and they beat a really good Penn State football team. But we're going to find out. They have a couple big tests before potentially getting in the championship game for the Big Ten, and that would be against Ohio State. The crazy thing is we sit here a month away, and Minnesota controls its own destiny. I truly believe that if they wind up winning out this schedule with the couple of the tough games they have left before the Big Ten, they're going to wind up in that top 4.
There's no question. Look, I'm going to say this. I think they could have moved up even further. Good for the committee to move them up 9 spots. It's the biggest jump into the top 10 we've seen the college football playoff era. But I think they could have moved up higher. Like, no disrespect to Oregon or Utah. Who's their quality win? They don't have a top 25 victory. Like, and now all of a sudden, we're going to put a team that just beat the committee's number 4 team behind those teams. I thought they could have gone all the way up as high as 6, but it was good to see them make a big jump. I'll do you one better, Todd. Clearly, if they go 13-0, they're getting in. But how about this?
Yeah.
I think they could lose to Iowa this week, beat Wisconsin, and then beat Ohio State and still have a heck of a resume to still make it as a 12-1 Big Ten champion in the college football playoff.
And you look at over
that
guys.
One.
Yeah, I mean, like, you see that? That would be three top 25 victories for them, Todd. I mean, that would be interesting to get to that point. All right, if you want to go ahead and be a part of that, go to our Dr. Pepper and use your hashtag right there, one final team. Make sure you put your vote in. Here are some projections for New Year's 6 bowl games. Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, Cincinnati, Utah. How about Capital One Orange Bowl, Penn State versus unranked Wake Forest. Rose Bowl game presented by Northwestern Mutual. Minnesota in Oregon and Allstate Sugar Bowl. Oklahoma versus Alabama. But a lot more football to be played. A lot more coming up on the show, including Pac-12, Big 12, both jockeying for college football playoff position. Coming up, why this weekend is going to make the playoff committee's decision a whole lot easier. And maybe the most important team in college football playoff isn't ranked in the top 10. Why Auburn has everybody circled and watching them then this weekend.
College Football Live is presented by Mazda. Feel alive. And in part by Great Clips. It's gonna be great. You're watching College Football Live, presented by Mazda.
There's no great win out there, honestly, for the Pac-12.
Oregon doesn't have a win on their schedule that makes me do anything.
Everyone kind of left them for dead, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago.
I buried the Pac-12 a couple weeks ago, and I'm not getting my shovel to unbury and go back and resurrect them.
Remember Machiavelli, right? Faked his own death to come back. Maybe that's what the Pac-12's doing, right? According to Allstate Playoff Predictor, Pac-12, 39% chance to send a team to the playoff. Big 12, 16%. Baylor looking to be one of those teams to be the Big 12 rep. Matt Rhule had something to say when people are saying, I'm not that impressed with the Bears' non-conference schedule.
The non-conference thing, it's just a slippery slope because at the end of the day, let's just talk about Power 5 teams and how many played and what their records were and then who won those games.
And that was on Golic and Wingo, and he's like, hey, give us a little bit of love. But Todd, right now, Pac-12 getting the love, Big 12 not. Why?
I think part of it is the 9 games in the conference and playing the Power 5 teams. I think part of it, too, is that Oregon has had a heck of a year, and Utah has had a heck of a year. And when you watch Baylor, we go back to that eye test, right? When you watch Baylor, they're really good as a football team. They're playing hard. They're playing together. Matt Rhule has been awesome for this program. But they're squeaking it out every week and just kind of hanging on. So we're going to find out a lot more in the last couple of weeks, starting with Oklahoma. This is a huge test for this team that is overmatched physically. We'll see if they can pull out some magic again.
I'll be honest. I think it's a little puzzling because, you know, it's got to be eye test, what you said, Todd, because if you look at it, it's not based off resume. Because Baylor's won some close games, but they've also got two of the committee's top 24 team double-digit road victories. Okay, that's more than both Oregon and Utah have combined. Yep. Top 25 wins. Oklahoma beat Texas on a neutral field, the number 19th ranked team in the committee's eyes. So, and even their loss is to 24 Kansas State. So, pure resume standpoint, I'm a little bit baffled. To me, this comes down to clearly when they watch the tape, they're just saying we think Oregon and Utah are better because from a resume standpoint, the Big 12 has 5 teams in the top 24. The Pac-12, right. The only in the top 25 are those two teams at 6 and 7.
Yeah, 5 ranked teams, like you said, right there in the Big 12, only 2 in the Pac-12. But so, Todd, when we start looking at this game in particular, game day is going to be there. It's going to be huge in Waco. What do you see between Baylor and Oklahoma that either one of these teams can impress?
I think the biggest thing for Baylor is they've got to stay balanced on offense. They've got a bunch of running backs that they rotate in. They've got a young quarterback. They've got Mims at wide receiver, who's kind of a star. They've got enough players to, I think, put up some points, but they've got to take advantage of Oklahoma defense, and especially the secondary in this game, if they're going to have a chance, because we know that Oklahoma is going to put up some points.
I think you're right, Ty. You know, I'm going to go to the other side of the football. I'm intrigued to watch the matchup of the Baylor defense. This is the number one scoring defense in the Big 12 against the number one scoring offense. And I don't think Baylor defensively gets enough credit. They've got a defensive tackle, James Lynch, who I think is a game wrecker and an absolute stud. He's got 8.5 sacks on the season. Kind of reminds me a little bit, Todd, a little J.J. Watt. They got 29 sacks on the year. They get after people. And if you've watched Jalen Hurts as of late, he's had some struggles, had a really costly interception that almost cost him the game against Iowa State. 2 other potential picks that one of them could have gone for 6 in Greg Eisworth. So he's going to have to be careful with the football. This is a tenacious, tough and physical Baylor defense. It's really been getting after it. And I think they're going to give Jalen Hurts in this offense as big a challenge as they've had all season.
Yeah, and this offensive line is young. Remember, they only got the 1 starter back, 4 players drafted. And with Lynch, you can play him, yes, technically he's a defensive tackle. You can play him inside, outside. I'm intrigued to see how they move him around and what matchups they try to take advantage of.
Looking forward to that one, gentlemen. Remember, Hurts, number 1 in FBS with a 94 QBR, but Baylor, second best holding opponents, just a 37 QBR. That's second best in the Big 12. All right, so that Saturday, you guys talked about it, that huge matchup. Maybe an elimination game. Sooners 25-3 all time against the Bears, and they've won the last 4. 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, right here on ABC and the ESPN app. All right, in my neck of the woods in the SEC world, Georgia, Auburn, Jordan-Hare Stadium, Deep South's oldest rivalry. Good Bo Nix or bad Bo Nix? What are we going to see, Dusty?
It's got to be good Bo Nix if Auburn wants to win this football game, because this Georgia defense, it is nasty, man. Number 2 scoring defense and really stopping the run. Number 4 against the run, haven't allowed a rushing touchdown this entire season, only school in college football. So Bo Nix is going to have to convert on third down. In the 2 losses this year, albeit on the road, This offense, 7 of 32 on third down, and he's had four interceptions. That's four of his five on the season. So he's going to have to take good care of the football and on third down extend drives and make big plays. And finally, in the red zone, they can't just lean on their running game. This is the number one red zone defense in college football. Bo Nix going to have to make plays in big moments in this game.
Yeah, on the other side of the ball, we know what we're getting from Jake Fromm. He's going to show up. He's going to be accurate. He's going to be prepared. He's going to be tough, and he's going to fight for four quarters. But does he have enough around him to win this game? I worry about the wide receivers, first of all. Lawrence Cager was his only reliable guy. The Miami transfer comes in. Now, he got injured last week. We'll see how much he can play, how healthy he is in this game. You've got a bunch of freshmen now at wide receiver. And also saw a couple offensive linemen leave the game with injuries. How are they going to play against this defensive front that's just outrageous? I mean, Derrick Brown leads the group. Marlon Davidson leads them in sacks. They're both going to be NFL guys, and the depth behind them is as good as any school in the country this year.
This is where games are won and lost, Todd, in the trenches, and this is as good a matchup as we're going to have all weekend. This Georgia offensive line, I think they're going to be healthy. They are big, they are physical, but that Auburn front, it's good on good, fellas.
Guys, here's the deal. I like the Auburn Tigers in this game, and here's the number that stands out to me. 10-0. That's Gus Malzahn's record coming off a bye. And him and Kevin Steele have had enough time to look at it. If Cager's not 100%, this offensive line, which looks great on paper for the Georgia Bulldogs, but got banged up in the Missouri game. At one point, they had their third string center in. By the way, he's probably just a five-star because he's over at Georgia. But giving those guys a healthy week, I think the Auburn Tigers get in, and here's the question, Dusty. Now, all of a sudden, if Georgia has two losses, but they go on to win the SEC and beat what we think LSU, then the committee is going to have a whole world of hurt on its hands.
Oh, yes, that is a nightmare scenario for the committee. But I'll tell you, LSU, how would they still not get in? I mean, I still feel like LSU with one loss, and it's only there in the SEC title game. I don't know how you would keep them out. So I don't know. That's a terrible nightmare scenario. But one that I think is definitely has a realistic chance of happening.
Hey, Dusty, did you notice the energy level ratcheted up a little bit when the SEC conversation started?
wait, are you saying that I didn't have it for Baylor, Oklahoma, Todd? Come on. I tell you what, you know what? I'll do you one
not
better.
Not as much.
Coming up, I cannot wait what's going to happen in Kinnick Stadium. My goodness, are you ready? It's going to be rowing the boat for Minnesota. It's going to be Iowa. And we're going to talk about it next over on College Football Live. Was that better, McShay? Are you happy now? Happy again?
Much better.
Thank you. All right,
much
next.
Better.
So much energy on College Football Live.
This is the place to be every week on College Game Day.
Pick and top picks.
Yeah. It's
so much fun.
Stand up.
Aww.
Stand up.
Aww.
Pick and top picks.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Stand up.
Aww.
Stand up.
Come on. College football.
It's hot.
Oh, yeah. What a good ball.
Come on. Stand up.
Here we go.
Stand up.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
The biggest marquee game every week on College Game Day.
College Football Live is presented by Mazda. Feel alive.
You want to feel alive? How about this? Saturday, 8 Eastern. Jacare Souza moving up to 205. Five-round main event for UFC Fight Night main card. To order that main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com. Make sure you download the ESPN app. All right, Dusty, I'll ask you this. PJ Fleck and Kirk Ferentz, if they were in a UFC five-round bout, who would take that one?
I'm going Coach Ferentz. Look, he's older, but this dude is nasty, man. He's been around the block a time or two. If PJ Fleck, he'd be rowing the boat, but I think Coach Ferentz would do some kind of crazy eye gouging. Who knows what he would do? Give me the old man.
Ferentz has got that old man strength. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, all right, you guys agree here. Do you agree that this is a really tough place to play? I mean, McShay, you've been there to Kinnick Stadium. In fact, I think you were there for the Ohio State game. What is in store for the Gophers there against Iowa?
Yeah, 2017, the 31-point game is the best example you can have. You can tell from the very first play on offense, pick six, they take it back, and the place was nuts for four quarters. As a quarterback, you got to really manage it. And it's going to be interesting to see how Minnesota comes out. And I think they've got to utilize their wide receivers. I think they have better speed on the outside, starting with Rashad Bateman. He averages 22 yards per catch. I think they've got to get some big plays early to kind of take the crowd out of it. But we'll see.
The side of the ball I'm looking to is the opposite side. You're right, though. That's a great matchup. But I'm wondering, can Nate Stanley step up and make big plays at home in a huge game? You know, he's been pretty marginal in some of their losses this year. He's okay against Wisconsin, but four interceptions this year, and their loss to Penn State and against Michigan. He's really struggled at times. And when I look at Minnesota defensively, they got 14 picks in the season, second best in college football, and Antoine Winfield Jr. has been fantastic this year. Two picks a week ago, on pace to probably be a guy who wins the Jim Thorpe Award. Big challenge for Nate Stanley in this Iowa Hawkeyes passing attack against Minnesota.
You know, kind of interesting, yeah, guys,
if
real
you're
quick.
Nate Stanley.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
I was going to say, if you're Nate Stanley, you've got to take a lot of pride in this game. You've got a sophomore quarterback in Tanner Morgan coming into your house. They're having the season of their career. This is an awesome opportunity for Iowa to kind of make up for some of the losses this season.
Yeah, and you say those three losses that they've had, but they're all to top 20 opponents, and they've all been one-possession games. Dusty, you've played in those games. Todd, you've seen them as well, too. Is there such thing as a trap game in the fact that Iowa is just in the perfect spot to upset Minnesota?
Absolutely, it is such thing as a trap game, and here's why. Because Minnesota cannot allow last week's win to roll into this week. You have to focus on Iowa. And here's the other part. Iowa has three losses, you mentioned, and they just lost last week. This team is prime, focused, and recognizes this is their chance on a big stage against a top team opponent to make a statement. So you've got two teams in different directions and spots, and it is important that PJ Fleck has his team focused and ready to play.
I think he will, but all you need to know is you've got an undefeated Minnesota team against a three-loss Iowa team, and Iowa's favored by 3 points. So Vegas gets it, too.
And listen, if it goes down to the cards and it goes into a UFC fight to determine it in quadruple overtime, I think I'm going with Kirk Ferentz. I think that you guys sold me on that enough. Right? No? Old man strength always wins out. Yeah. Todd McShay, Dusty Dvorak, Peter Burns, thanks for watching College Football Live.